From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Chris Ellis with Timney Triggers. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Good morning, Rick. Glad to be with you this morning.
It is it's kind of a cool day here. Where are you exactly sitting this morning?
I am sitting in my house in West Virginia.
Yeah. Do you have any cold temperatures there?
Yeah, it's cold and rainy today. Front's supposed to be, I guess, front's coming your way, and it'll eventually get over here in West Virginia, so it's supposed to be cooler the next couple of days.
We're at about 15 degrees right now, and going to top out somewhere in the higher 20s today, but then the rest of the weekend's supposed to be like 50s, so we'll be okay.
Well, that front's coming. Yeah, we're not like that. We're in the lower 40s, and it's just raining like crazy right now. So it's a dreary day, and it's a good day to be on the radio talking triggers.
Good. Talking about something else besides the coronavirus.
Absolutely.
Excuse me. Let's kind of introduce people to that. I know anybody that does any reading on new guns and things that are on the market, every now and then they'll run into Timney when they're reading an article like that. What is Timney really all about?
Yeah, Timney's a great American manufacturing story. Been around almost 75 years, but Timney's all about making you more accurate with your rifle. It's as simple as that. That's how it was founded, and that's what it's based on today. And the people, whether they're bench rest shooters or competition shooters, plinkers or hunters, they get involved in the sport and want to become more accurate. They eventually come to the trigger and are introduced to Timney.
We'll get into how that makes you more accurate in a little bit, but could you tell us a little brief history about the company? You said it was about 75 years old, but you know, how'd they start and who started it? And you know, you don't wake up in the morning and go, "Oh, I'm going to go build custom triggers."
Yeah.
How did that evolve?
It's a pretty neat story. So Alan Timney, he was the founder of Timney Triggers, and Timney was founded in 1946, and that timeline tells you it's right after World War II.
Uh-huh.
And what was happening was a lot of GIs were coming home, and they had access to service rifles, either Mausers or Enfields or Springfields, and they were proud, man. We won the war. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to take those rifles and then sporterize them and turn them into deer hunting rifles, essentially. And the first thing they needed to get rid of was that military, really sloppy, hard-to-pull, heavy-to-pull, inconsistent trigger. So what Alan did was Alan decided to make a few designs where on your kitchen table or, you know, on your workbench, you could replace a trigger pretty easily and inexpensively. And that's how it started.
And it took off. It worked.
And it took off, yeah. If you think about American manufacturers, 75 years, and that's, you know, that's something to be proud of, you know, made in America by Americans.
Absolutely.
You know, bars of metal come in one side of the shop, and out the other side of the shop comes out a product, and it's a Timney trigger. I've been proud to be working with them. This is my 16th year, so. And I like Industrial Revolution stuff. I like American manufacturing. I like how products are built in the United States. That's just, we all should be a little bit proudful of that this time, you know?
Absolutely. That long a run in industry, in any business, is great. But in a business that, you know, is something extra, you know, it's not absolutely critical to live. People have to go looking for it and buy it, and to stay in business that long and grow, it's got to mean one thing: you got a great product.
Well, it's cool too because it's generational. So you know, granddad knew Timney, right? And then dad knew Timney, and then now mom and dad know Timney, and the younger generation are finding out either through shooting sports or hunting or whatever that if accuracy matters, it all starts with a good trigger, and they're finding Timney. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool. You get people say, "I remember my father had a Timney on his whatever Remington 700. I remember him talking about how important a trigger was, and then they kind of get into the light bulb moment where, like, oh, I get what he was talking about now, you know?
And you mentioned, you know, be it the hunter or plinker, target shooter, you know, bench shooter. How do you choose the right trigger for the rifle that you have?
Well, a lot of it is just, you know, the thing about a good trigger is if you want to hit the same place twice, and this may be a little bit of hillbilly logic, but I am a hillbilly. But if you want to hit the same place twice, the trigger has to break the same way twice. It's just fact. That's as simple as you can make it. So depending on whether whatever your sport is, so if you're a target shooter or like a bench rest shooter, you're going to want an extremely light trigger. That way when it breaks, your muscle memory, your brain calls for the shot, and it's just simply a routine, kind of like a golfer with a putt. It just becomes muscle memory, and the trigger breaks exactly the same way. Now, as a hunter, because you may be hunting when it's cold, or you may be hunting when it's, you know, you got gloves on or something, you may want a trigger that breaks just a little bit heavier, and I mean 2.5 to 3 pounds compared to triggers that come on production rifles. That's extremely light, but
right,
you know, bench rest shooter may want to go down to 0.5 pound, and a hunter may want. I set mine at 3 pounds.
Most of the bench shooters that I know, their triggers are down in the ounces. Like,
yeah,
you said,
exactly. You got to measure them in the ounces, and then, you know, some people prefer a 2-stage trigger. Some people prefer a single stage. The 2-stage triggers, what I'm told, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up with a, you know, single stage trigger, but 2-stage triggers, people like the ready, set, go aspect of that. And I've seen I've witnessed it many times. People switch to a 2-stage trigger, and their group size go way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just whatever your preference is. That's why we make single stage and 2-stage and really light triggers and triggers that go up to 4 pounds. And, you know, it's just personal preference. The good news is, though, if the trigger is consistent, your shooting is going to be consistent, and then you can build off that platform. That's the real secret to it.
So the question comes to mind is, if the triggers are so important, why don't all rifles come with Timney triggers?
wouldn't that be neat?
It'd be great for your company, wouldn't it?
It would be neat. Yeah, it's just a price point thing. It's just like when you look at, you know, automobiles. Why are all automobiles, you know, or cars that you buy the top of the line? Because there's, you know, there's different markets out there. There's entry-level markets. There's price point markets. And not all Chevrolets come with a Bose radio, for example. It's just, you know, it's just not feasible to have every firearm out there, every rifle that's coming off a manufacturer's line, you know, that with that much dedication and precision into the trigger. They'd have to slow down the production lines to do the precision of a company like Timney, and that would make the price point of that rifle very, very high.
I had a rifle manufacturer tell me one time, we were talking about a new weapon they had coming out, and he said that one of the reasons they had the manufacturer's retail price that they had on that rifle was just for this, the reason. They took extra time to do the trigger, and he says that's one of the most important and most costly aspects of a rifle or a shotgun is getting the trigger to work right. So
right.
What you said makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we companies like Timney, we just do one thing. We just build triggers. We build the best triggers in the world. We're the largest trigger manufacturer in the world. Our tolerances and our precision and the Americans who cut metal at our shop is just, I mean, we're talking about precise precision. And for other manufacturer who's a rifle builder, entire rifle builder, to slow down to that precision would just, the cost,
yeah,
and the talent, you know, it just wouldn't be feasible for the price of their end product. Now, we can do it because that's all we do every day is our machines run 23 hours a day. We feed the machine steel and the loom and the CNCs and the robots take over. And the neat thing is, it's always fascinated me about this, our quality control is every single trigger is tested in the action it was designed for before it leaves our shop and comes to your door. So
wow,
everything we do is tested by a human. So
now we've talked about it and how precise and the quality control and stuff. It gets to your door. How difficult is it to install in your rifle if you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, that was Alan Timney's dream, was he wanted to make sure that tabletop gunsmiths or just, you know, the average... Now, you have to have a little bit of mechanical. I mean, you have to know what a screwdriver is.
But right.
In order for it to be a Timney, it has to be a fairly simple drop-in trigger. Now, over the years, some of our customers have asked to build this, to build that. One of the qualifications we've got to do is, can we build it as a drop-in? Can it be easily installed? Some of them, like a Remington 700, are pretty simple. It's just two pins. You know, you knock out a couple pins and replace the trigger. Our ARs are very simple to put in. Our 1022s are very simple. So the bottom line is, yes, they're very easily installed, and they have to be in order to become a Timney.
In years past, with different rifles that I've had one Savage and one Ruger that I upgraded to a Timney trigger. And in both cases, like you said, it was two pins, two screws. Once you got the barrel in action out of the stock, it was a five-minute operation.
The more you do, the better you... But if you can take the barrel action out of a stock, which leaves you with... you know, your barrel action and the trigger hanging on it. If you can get to that point, it's pretty simple. And we have, you know, we have our customer service and our technical support who, again, that's all we do. So we have resources. We have online videos. We send you an instruction sheet that you can print off and take to your workbench. And we have, you know, humans that answer the phone every single day that can help, that can walk you through this. And if you're not mechanically inclined, you know, we even have a program where we'll put the trigger in for you. So. I mean, after 75 years, we pretty much
got it down to a science, don't you?
we pretty much know the trigger business fairly well. So
I am. I know we've talked off the air, and I've talked with one of your tech guys back in Phoenix about a trigger I wanted to upgrade, a British rifle I picked up not too long ago. It's a gorgeous rifle, but the trigger is horrendous on this thing. It's a 275 Rigby, which most people have never heard of in America. But this thing, imagine this, Chris. You got a piece of stiff wire wrapped around your finger. It's about 3 foot long, attached to a cinder block, and you're dragging it across a rough concrete driveway. That's what this trigger feels like. It is terrible. And I am really looking forward to getting the Timney trigger that'll fit this thing, because I really want to use this rifle.
It just changes that rifle, you know. It completely changes that rifle. I hear people talk to me all the time. They've either bought a gun, or granddaddy's gun, or there's a gun in the gun cabinet, and they loved the gun, but it just wasn't a shooter, you know. They just couldn't become accurate with it. And once they uncover the mystery of a good trigger and put the trigger in it, all of a sudden it's a brand new rifle. I mean, it's a rifle that you feel comfortable with.
Exactly.
Practicing and deer hunting with, you know.
That's exactly. I wanted to hunt deer with this Rigby last November when our season is. But if I was making a longer shot, you know, 500-600-yard shot, the amount of pull on that trigger, I was just worried I was going to torque it off to the right a little bit and miss that shot, and I just didn't want to do that, so I went back to one of my other tried and true rifles. But by God, this year it's coming out.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. If it takes enough poundage to break that trigger to where it weighs actually more than the rifle, then when you pull that trigger, you have to be pulling your rifle off the target. You have to. It's just hillbilly simple.
Oh, yeah.
If you got a 6-pound rifle and you have a trigger set at 2.5 pounds, that makes sense. Your trigger's not going to cause the rifle to move. It's just simple. So, yeah, if you're going to shoot at distances, even 100 yards and over, You owe it to yourself to become as accurate as you can with that rifle, so you have the best opportunity to have those bullet holes touching on the target. Or, you know, when you're shooting at a deer at a couple hundred yards, it's just a mental game. The deer walks out, you range find it, it's within your sweet spot, and it's just muscle memory. You know that trigger's going to break exactly when you want it to.
Yeah.
You know when that crosshair's right exactly on the vitals? It's just muscle memory. It's just flip a safety and go, you know? And that's the confidence is fun. That's what makes shooting and being a better hunter and a better marksman, that's what makes, you know, it's what's fun. It's what's fun about being a sportsman is always honing your craft, you know?
Exactly.
You wouldn't walk into deer woods with a dull knife. You know.
Have you ever had a chance, Chris, to hunt out here in Nebraska, out in western Nebraska?
I have hunted turkeys. My son and I are, believe it or not, we're kind of diehard turkey hunters. And we went out, I believe it was last year during turkey season, and the first morning we woke up and got into the field, the turkeys were gobbling, and then it snowed, and the wind blew, and the wind howled, and we're from West Virginia. We thought we knew wind. We don't know wind.
That might have been 2 years ago, because I had Bob, Rob, and a couple other riders out here, and they hunted with crossbows in the bow season the day before, and then the morning of the shotgun season, we got locked into the cabin with a blizzard for about 26 hours.
I think it was 2 years ago now that I think about it. I think you're right, yeah. My son and I travel every year somewhere different, somewhere, you know, unique to hunt turkeys. He's been hunting turkeys. He's 18 now, but he's been hunting turkeys since he's old enough to hunt, you know. That's our thing, so.
Very good.
But I've never deer hunted in Nebraska or waterfowl hunted. I just turkey hunted.
We're going to have to talk about that because this is rifleman's country out here. They're all long shots. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to have to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we'll finish up a little talking about Timney.
Thank you.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
We have a new story here from the United Kingdom. It's an example of what the left is trying to do everywhere. Dr. David McArath was training to become a disability assessor with the Department for Work and Pensions. When he was ordered to refer to patients by whatever gender label they identified as, he objected. Strike one. Strike two was his reason. He said gender is defined by biology and genetics. The doctor also cited his religious belief. He said that as a Christian, he believed God made humans male and female. Strike three, dude. He was found unfit to work as a disability assessor, and he was promptly fired. The doctor filed a discrimination complaint. Last week, the tribunal in Birmingham announced its decision. Now, the ruling addressed three. It said the doctor's belief that God made two sexes, his lack of belief in transgenderism, and his conscientious objection to transgenderism were incompatible with human dignity. So in the eyes of this court, traditional morality and Christian belief, as taught for thousands of years in churches around the world, is somehow incompatible with human dignity. Listen, if you think this anti-religious ruling is incompatible with what liberals want to do here in the United States, guess again, bro. It's only a matter of time, and not much time at that. Next time somebody asks you how many genders there are, just say 100 to be safe.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to... Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial. ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Here's your 4K40 AM and 106.1 FM. Some cloudiness lingers in parts of the area early today. Plenty of sunshine for this afternoon. Highs top out near 31 degrees. Winds turn to the east-southeast, 5 to 15 miles per hour, higher gusts possible. Tonight, some cloudiness could pass through the area. Lows drop to 17, and then highs get close to 50 on Saturday. Weather is brought to you by North Platte Airport with daily jet service to Denver and beyond. Book at united.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Chris Ellis this morning, talking about triggers and Timney triggers in particular. When we left there, Chris, we were talking about, I got to get you out here for some, you know, shooting across stuff.
I would love it. Yeah, growing up in West Virginia, you know, I grew up until I was 18, never saw past 50 yards.
Yeah, that's right.
Get up here in Nebraska, and I'm like, man, you can really have some fun out there shooting, you know?
The flip side of that is you take somebody that grew up here and hunting the open country like we have, and you take them someplace like West Virginia or Georgia, South Carolina, and they feel claustrophobic. There's just way too many
absolutely.
Trees.
Absolutely.
I grew up shooting in the plains of southern Texas, so it wasn't that much of a transition to come up here, but it's definitely rifleman's country. When it comes time, you know, as the company's looking along, I know you guys make triggers for, God, I don't know how many guns. I don't think I've ever found, but the one I'm working on now that anybody even questioned, it was like, oh, yeah, we got this one.
Yeah.
But how do you choose the next one you're going to make?
It's really simple. We have a customer's choice program, and believe it or not, our Timney fans are, our Timney tribe are very evangelistic. I mean, they are constantly letting us know. And it makes sense because if muscle memory, if that's a big part of your accuracy, you want all your rifles to feel the same. So if you get a rifle and you're like, man, this trigger just, I can't work with this trigger. It doesn't feel like the rest of my Timneys or the rest of my rifles are Timneys. They let us know, trust me. So every year we do a customer's choice and come out with some, you know, some triggers to meet the demand. And if you look into firearms, you know, you'll see trends. I mean, right now it seems that 700 action that are built for precision long range shooting is a lot of fun, and it seems to be very, very popular now. So we've been making the 700 trigger since about 1965. I think Remington came out in 62 with their model 700. So wasn't very long after that, our customers asked us to build a trigger for it. And we've been building different styles of 700 triggers since 65. So, and the same with ARs, and you know, that was a customer choice trigger in their 1022. And so it's just listening to the customer. And when they, more than a couple of people call, we're like, we need to build those guys.
Yeah. When the trend starts saying this particular rifle, it's time to take notice. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, if somebody is looking for a trigger and they're thinking about doing that, what's the general range and cost? I know they're not all the same, but what's the general range people are looking at for putting in one of these triggers?
Well, it just depends on, you know, on what trigger they want. If you're talking about a Remington 700 trigger, you're going to be around the $160 mark or so to get into them. Now, you know, Timneys are sold a lot of different places across the, you know, Midways and the Brownells of the world and Optics Planet and that kind of stuff. Well, we have a retail store too, online you can take a look at. But I'd say roughly $160 would be a good price to budget for.
That's kind of looking through on my side, just glancing through what's there. I was going to say somewhere in the $150 to $175 range. And
yeah,
when you can,
we make them also, you know. We make them up depending on precision and adjustability and different trigger shoes and stuff. They're going to go up from there, too.
Right.
So, but
right.
We have a wide variety.
Right. When you think about an accessory, quote, or an addition to a rifle, you know, A good sling will cost you $50-$60. A good scope may run you $500. So
yeah,
the cost of a trigger is not that much.
Well, especially if it drastically changes the performance of you and that rifle, it's worth considering. I mean, if you just have a rifle that you love that is not a shooter or you cannot become accurate with it, the price of changing that trigger changes that gun. For you, then you have a legacy gun, right?
Exactly.
A legacy gun that you feel comfortable in the field with, you've taken deer with, and you would gladly hand that down the line. You know, that's what's kind of exciting about just the changing a trigger. It just totally can change the outlook of your perception and the performance of that rifle.
I can give you a testament, speaking from experience, with the couple times that I have added a Timney to a rifle. It made the world of difference, and I would not go back to the stock rifle and trigger for anything.
I totally understand that. All my rifles are set at 3 pounds. They all break exactly when they should, and it's just... I can't shoot a bad trigger right now. It's just, I cannot become accurate with a bad trigger. I'm jinxed. You know, just can't do it.
It's one of those things that, like you said, once you know what a good one is, good trigger is, you're not going to go back to the also ran. It's just,
right.
It's you pick up a rifle like this Rigby I was talking about earlier. First time I pulled the trigger on it, I immediately said, this ain't going to work. I'm going to have to deal with it. I took it out to the range and I played with it for a while trying to learn how to shoot that trigger, and I gave up. I said, I'm calling you, and we're going to talk guns, and then we're going to get it squared away.
Well, that's the same thing the GIs did when they came back from the war in 1946. They were like, I love this gun. I'm proud of this gun. You know, they won the war.
Yeah.
It was an exciting time. But the first thing they said is, man, if I'm going to be a deer hunter,
exactly,
I'm going to have to do something about this trigger.
For anybody that's listening to us today, if they want to get more information on Timney and Timney triggers, where do they go?
The easiest way to do it right now is just go to timneytriggers.com, and we have about every question answered there. But there's also you can shoot us a text or shoot us an email or give us a call. Just like, you know, if you're sitting around quarantine and you got nothing better to do.
That's right. Very good.
Well, I may want to look at the replacement trigger. Give it to me a holler. They'll help you out.
Very good, sir. We're out of time. I appreciate you being with us. But you have a great weekend. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.